first reading in the eighth Sunday after Pentecost is taken from Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 1 through 6. "Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture," declares the Lord. "Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherds who tend my people. Because you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not bestowed care on them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil that you have done, declares the Lord. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them and will bring them back to their pasture, where they will be fruitful and increase in number. I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. For the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteous Savior." This is the word of the Lord. Second reading is from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. "Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take more than a half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Well, just before this service started, one of the ladies who was at our first service kind of rushed over to me and said, "Pastor, A plus on the delivery today." I don't know what that meant about the content. I guess you can decide that as you, by the time I'm done. It had been a busy day for Jesus and his disciples. In fact, it had been busy, very busy for a while. So Jesus tells the guys to get into the boat, and they head off, kind of skirting the corner of the lake, the Sea of Galilee, to a quieter place, kind of a remote place where there were not many people in that area. One problem: the people saw where they were headed, and they got there before Jesus and the disciples got there. This is how it reads. "So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw the large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things." So much did they want to be in the presence of Jesus that they didn't just meander on over. They didn't sashay over. They didn't, they didn't stroll over. They ran. They ran there. And apparently there were some hamlets or towns on the way there, and the word spread. So by the time Jesus and the boys got ashore, there was a crowd, a big crowd waiting for them. They had gotten into the boat, seeking to get away from the crowds, but the crowds wouldn't let them be. And notice what the text says. It says that when Jesus saw them, he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Like sheep without a shepherd. That was the situation that was being addressed in the Old Testament lesson from Jeremiah. And actually, you might say it was even worse. Take a look. "Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherds who tend my people. Because you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not bestowed care on them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done, declares the Lord." The problem in Jeremiah's day wasn't exactly that they didn't have shepherds. They did have shepherds. The problem was that the shepherds, the priests, and the religious teachers of the land, as the prophet said, were destroying and scattering the people of God. But understand, they weren't inflicting harm upon them physically. It wasn't that kind of destroying. They weren't chasing the people away from the temple with whips and shouts. That's not how they were scattering the people. They were destroying and scattering the people because they were abusing the people by not bringing them the care of God and the truths of God. They were teaching lies. They were polluting the faith of the people by mingling their faith in the God of Israel with the gods of the surrounding peoples. Now, it wasn't quite that bad at the time of Jesus. But still, even though the people weren't overtly guilty of idolatry, still they were starved for a true and vital connection to God, the God who loved them. And they sensed that in Jesus, a new vitality of faith could be found. God became real for them like he never had before. And that's why the people ran to where Jesus was. Now, every week, before and while I'm preparing my message, I keep asking God to place into my heart and my mind things that will be helpful to you in your life, and in particular, especially in your faith life. And I'm fully aware that what I'm about to say, some of you will think that you've heard me say this before in various ways. But you know what? It's one of those things that simply cannot be overemphasized. You see, we too live at a time when people are like sheep without a shepherd. We too live in a time when even those who purport themselves to be pastors or spiritual advisors are so often wolves in sheep's clothing, as was the case in Jeremiah's time. The truths of God are so often in our time distorted, dismissed, ridiculed, and rejected. Now, praise God, there are many fine churches and with very fine truth-speaking and encouraging pastors. And I share this not because I'm terribly concerned that anyone in this room would be swayed and deceived by the kinds of charlatans that Jeremiah prophesied about, but it is possible. We always need to stand guard. I need to always stand guard that I'm not swayed. At least a couple times a year, I hear of some new kind of teaching or approach that is supposed to open doors to greater and greater blessings. And when I hear that, that's when I start looking for old deceptions wearing new clothes. But perhaps my greater purpose for raising this alert to you this morning is the fact that we are to be our brother's keepers. Remember that from very early in the Bible? Cain killed Abel. God said to Cain, "Cain, where's your brother?" And Cain said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Remember that? Well, we are to be our brother's keepers. We are. Who among your friends might be under the sway of those who distort God's word? Who among your friends or relatives might be those who are setting aside God's truths, principles, mores, and morals? And is God tapping you on the shoulder, asking you to reach out to them in love with God's truths and His call to come back to Him and living and then live by those truths? Is God tapping you on the shoulder for a friend of yours? Back to the gospel lesson. Jesus steps ashore. He sees that they are like sheep without a shepherd, and He commences to teach them. He taught them till late in the day. So late that the disciples came to Jesus and they tapped on their watches or they held up their cell phones so Jesus could see what time it was. It was getting late. Jesus needed to send the people off while there was still time for them to get to the surrounding villages and hopefully buy food before the vendors closed their shops for the day. But Jesus, of course, even though He knew what He was going to do, told the disciples that they should feed them. The disciples were flabbergasted. Yes, they were. That's right, flabbergasted. Now, I don't know the Aramaic word for flabbergasted, but I'm sure they used it. Among the things they said to Jesus was that it would take more than a half of a year's wage to pay for the food for all these people. You know how many there were? You probably do. 5,000 plus, because the 5,000 was just the men. Didn't count women and children who were present. Now, most of you know the story. the disciples looked around and saw that basically all they could come up with was this one boy's lunch, five loaves, call them dinner rolls, and two fish. Jesus tells the disciples to have the people sit down in groups of 50 and hundreds, and he takes the loaves and he takes the fish and he looks up to heaven and he gives thanks to God the Father for his provision, and then begins to break the bread and 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 the fish. And by the time he's done, all 5,000 people had their fill. And they picked up the leftovers. 12 basketfuls. Now, understand something. These people didn't run around the bend in the lake getting to the destination where Jesus was going before he got there because they knew at the end of the day he was going to feed them. They had no idea. The disciples had no idea. Jesus taught them that day and fed them that day because he had compassion on them. They knew there was something about Jesus that they had to be near. Things he said that they had to hear. They were starving for these things. So they ran and they ran to be where Jesus was. And Jesus saw their yearning. He saw their desire for whatever it was that he had that came from God. Yes, he saw that they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he met them in their need. Friends, I am here today to tell you that Jesus still desires to meet people in their needs. When people yearn for God, reach for him, not knowing even what he might give them, if anything, he will be ready to bring them the things that they need. When people run to Jesus today, he still desires to be for them the shepherd that will help them, have compassion for them, and help them in their needs. So yes, by all means, I encourage you to run to Jesus. Yes, run to Jesus. But do take care. Why do I say that? I say this because of a tendency that is all too often found in probably every one of us. I'll explain. Several of the four Gospels include the account of Jesus feeding the 5,000 with nothing more than the five loaves, the two fish, and prayer. In John's account, we discover that the very next day, these same people once again found out where Jesus and his men landed their boat, and this time they got into boats and they went off to find Jesus at that place. And when they did, when they got there, Jesus said something just a bit troubling and telling. This is what he said. Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. In other words, he was saying that the only reason they were there that second day, the only reason they were there was because Jesus filled their stomachs. They weren't there to yearn for God. They weren't there to honor God. This time they weren't running just to be with him. No. This time they were running to get their stomachs filled. Jesus had for them turned into a sugar daddy or a Santa Claus. Do we slip into the same behavior? How often do we slip from seeking Jesus simply because He's Jesus, running to Him simply because He's God? Yes, how often do we slip from that to simply coming to Him to get something from Him or out of Him? You see? It's so easy, is it not? Do you know what happened that day when the people got into their boats? This is the second day, and they found where Jesus had landed, and they got there. This is the day after Jesus fed them with the loaves and the fishes. Do you know what happened? It didn't end well. So far as we know, there were no miracles that day. In fact, it even got contentious. And many people, many of those 5,000 that day stopped following Jesus. And isn't that what we see today? How many people do you know who end up giving up on God and throwing Him to the side because He didn't give them what they wanted or didn't prevent something from happening? I would have to guess that many of us know people like that. And you see, the problem isn't that God didn't give them the thing that they wanted. Rather, the problem is that they didn't run to Him to find Him just to be with Him. Just to seek Him because He's God. You see? May you and I on this very day find new reason to run to Jesus. May we find fresh insight and revelation about just who Jesus is and how blessed we are to be in relationship with Him. Yes, may we run to Jesus because He's Jesus. True God, true man, our Savior, and the one who, when we get to where He is, accepts us gladly to His side. Amen.